This is what the Zionist movement termed a land without a people. But in reality, during the 19th century, the land had an overwhelming majority native Palestinian population. The majority were Muslim, with Christians making up around 11% and a small Palestinian Jewish minority of around 3%. But by 1917, Britain had occupied Palestine. The country's foreign secretary wanted to win favor with the powerful Zionist movement. Arthur Balfour committed to supporting the establishment of a national homeland for Jews in Palestine. As occupation authorities settled increasing numbers of Jewish immigrants from Europe, Palestinians began rebelling. Jews from Europe felt their religious beliefs and the historical existence of Jewish communities in the land entitled them to Palestine. Palestinians felt their country was being given away by foreigners to foreigners. In 1947, Britain announced it would hand over Palestine to the UN to sort out. In the same year, the UN proposed establishing two states against the wishes of the majority Arab population. The majority of the country would go to the Jewish immigrant population, which owned only 6% of the land and constituted only a third of the population. And the native Palestinians, they'd get less than half of their own country. The Jews accepted the UN plan, but Palestinians rejected it. War broke out, during which the Zionists ethnically cleansed an estimated 750,000 Palestinian Arabs. In May 1948, the Zionists declared the establishment of the State of Israel. The Palestinians were outgunned, as Zionists overran Palestinian towns and villages. In some places like Deir Yassin, Zionist forces massacred the civilian population. Residents of other Palestinian towns simply fled in fear. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians were displaced. As Jews celebrated, Palestinians marked the Great Catastrophe, or Nakba. The Zionists quickly absorbed conquered Palestinian towns into their new State of Israel, as many Palestinians languished in refugee camps. A park with fields and flowers. You know, it all seems so tranquil now, but appearances can be deceiving, because this was once the Palestinian village of El Burj, swept by the turmoil of a Nakba. It's an Israeli national park today. The Arab houses are gone. We wandered around, but it's hard to find a remnant of the Palestinian village to touch or hold on to. And yet, for Shahir al-Khatib, it's all still there in his memory. Now living in Al-Qalandiyya refugee camp, he was forced to flee El Burj in 1948 when he was 8 years old. But he still holds on to what's left, the keys to his house, the powerful recollections that sometimes capture his gaze.
The Jews attacked the town. There were four people with mental disabilities who didn't understand that they should stay indoors. So they were killed by the Zionist shelling. I did not see the Zionists, but I heard the shells.
Why haven't you gone back to El Burj?
The elders decided we should stay out of the town for a week or a month or a couple of months until the Zionists leave. But they never left our town, and eventually our hope of returning died. There were a few people who tried to sneak back into El Burj at night, but the Zionists caught them and killed them. How could anyone think of returning after that?
He longs to step foot again in his village. He still remembers its water wells and trees fondly. But Israel generally does not allow Palestinians into what is now Israel, even for a visit, if they don't have Israeli citizenship, Israeli ID cards, or special permits. I could only give him a glimpse of what it looks like today. A grandfather, displaced, heartbroken, and still hoping to return. His path out of displacement seems as distant as ever. Sami Zeidan, Al Jazeera, and Al-Qalandiyya Refugee Camp.